Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My special guest on Wednesday's show is Stephen Goff, the longtime soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Sonny, great to join you.
The FIFA Women's World Cup officially kicks off next week in Australia and New Zealand. 32 teams scheduled to participate, Steve. Of those 32, 8 will be making their debuts, including Vietnam, the team that the USA will play in their opening match. Steve, the fact that we have one quarter of the field making their debuts, does that speak at all to the development of the women's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the growth and the growing pains of the women's game, in that, you know, you have more teams investing, you have more federations investing in the women's game. They see that there's a prize there, and that prize is getting to the World Cup. And so there's an incentive. There's an incentive to invest in women's soccer, women's football. And, you know, with more slots open, the opportunities are there. And, you know, as we saw at the last World Cup, there were some teams that weren't quite ready for the big stage. You know, we saw the U.S. beat Thailand 13-0. So we might see some pretty convincing scores again this year with a few of the new teams. But as the game develops, as the game evolves on the women's side, you're going to see greater competition, and you're going to see new countries, that are investing in women's soccer qualify for the World Cup.
Steve, you've been covering women's soccer and men's soccer, for that matter, for a long time. What are some of the changes you've seen in the women's game style-wise over the years?
Yeah, I think it's a little more sophisticated than it used to be. You know, I think in the past, you know, there was a reliance more on athleticism and strength and speed. And now you're seeing more technical ability surface. They're playing soccer. They're playing football. They can play with their feet. They're showing better footwork. You know, not all teams. Every team is different. But I think, you know, just the development of the game has facilitated improvements in playing the game. And so, you know, you see players that can, you know, dribble past a couple defenders and curve in a bending shot to the top corner. I think that's more prevalent than it used to be, especially over more programs, more countries. So it's getting better. The other thing I think is depth. You know, there have always been good players on all teams, whether those teams are good or bad. But I think you're seeing a greater variety of talent, a little more depth. You know, it used to be just the U.S. and maybe, you know, Germany or Sweden had players on their bench that could really have an impact. And now, you know, now you're seeing more teams with more talent, greater depth.
The U.S. team, bidding for an unprecedented third consecutive world title, has to be considered one of the favorites, Steve. Outside of the USA, who do you see as women's World Cup title contenders?
Yeah, I think the U.S. goes in as, if not the lone favorite, but as one of the favorites. They always are. They always will be, I think. Other contenders: England, defending European champion. Germany, always strong. Sweden, a steady program. Brazil has always had the great capacity for wonderful soccer, but has yet to win a championship. But you always watch them. Australia, playing at home. Very strong program, talented players, and they'll get a boost by playing in their home stadiums. Canada has won an Olympic gold. So they're certainly contender. And then you have like the Netherlands, who lost in the final 2019 to the United States. France has become a power. So there's a lot of strong programs out there. The U.S. is number one ranked and will go in as the favorite, but no guarantee they're going to win it all again.
Steve, you mentioned World Cup co-host Australia, captained by Sam Kerr. What's your take on Kerr and her status in the women's game?
Yeah, dynamic attacker, goal scorer, has played in the NWSL in the United States, is playing in England at a high level. A game changer, a goal scorer, and I think, this is her moment, with the World Cup taking place in Australia. The final will be in Sydney. That's their goal. That's Australia's goal, is to get to the final, or, at least the semifinal. This is a big moment for her. She's been an international superstar on the club level and has performed well for her national team. But this is a home World Cup, and I would anticipate big things from Sam Kerr in this World Cup.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Steve Goff, the Washington Post soccer writer, about the upcoming Women's World Cup. Steve, let's talk about 2019 Women's World Cup star Megan Rapinoe. She won the Golden Boot and the Golden Ball 4 years ago in France. Last week, she celebrated her 38th birthday and also announced that the 2023 Women's World Cup will be her last major tournament. She plans to retire at the end of the year. What's been the impact of Megan Rapinoe on U.S. soccer?
Yeah, her impact was felt both on and off the field. On the field, she's a terrific player, a winger who can create and score goals. She hit her ultimate spot at the last World Cup in France. She's now more of a role player, not a full-time starter. She will see time in this World Cup. She's a leader, she's a veteran leader. She's now 38 years old. It's one of the reasons she's on the squad. Off the field, an immense impact, leading the efforts for equal pay, leading the way in the women's fight for a collective bargaining agreement with the U.S. Soccer Federation, an issue that really, bubbled to the surface at the last World Cup and in some ways overshadowed the tournament. Pressing for human rights, for equal rights. She was at the forefront of, the desire for civil, gender, racial equity during the George Floyd turmoil in the United States a couple of years ago. She's been honored by a president. She's been outspoken on numerous topics. So, when you talk about Megan Rapinoe, you're not just talking about Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player, but Megan Rapinoe, the citizen, Megan Rapinoe, the advocate and the stateswoman. So her impact is felt well beyond the lines of a soccer field.
Steve, you mentioned Megan Rapinoe's efforts towards equal pay. Ahead of the Women's World Cup, FIFA has increased prize money for women. Each player is guaranteed $30,000, and the money rises if a player's team advances out of the group stage to the round of 16, to the quarterfinals, to the semifinals, and each member of the winning team will receive $270,000. What's your reaction, Steve?
Yeah, they've dragged their feet over the decades in support of the women's game. It's been part of the fight that the U.S. team has led, and there's another angle that Megan Rapinoe was involved in. It's getting there. You know, I mean, the Women's World Cup is not as popular as the men's. It's not close to the men's, but it's growing. It's getting bigger. The television audience has swelled at the last World Cup. Investment has grown. There's interest. You know, there's considerable interest. Now, it'll be a little different this year because of the time difference for much of the world trying to watch matches in being played in Australia and New Zealand, particularly for U.S. viewers. There's going to be some late nights and a lot of coffee. But the game is growing, and FIFA recognizes it, and they're making incremental progress in supporting the women's game, rewarding the women's teams and players, and helping the sport grow. And that's ultimately what FIFA should be doing, is growing the sport. And, you know, they certainly have their eyes on money, and they understand that the Women's World Cup can make money for them.
Thanks, Steve. That's Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff. And we'll hear more insights from Steve later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's English to Africa service is celebrating its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts about the Sunny Side of Sports. Send a voice message or text to this WhatsApp number, +1-202-258-3076. Recall a favorite memory. That number again, +1-202-258-3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, on Thursday's show, Myron Nyka will have a team profile of Zambia's Copper Queens, who will be making their debut at the Women's World Cup football tournament. Myron says the Copper Queens are stacked with talent, and they arrived in New Zealand this week after a productive three-week camp in Europe, where the Zambian women played friendly warm-up matches against Ireland, Switzerland, and Germany. Zambia will play Japan in its opening World Cup match on July 22nd in Hamilton, New Zealand. Earlier, we heard Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff comment on the impact of American star Megan Rapinoe. On Wednesday in Auckland, New Zealand, Rapinoe had this to say about competing in her fourth and final Women's World Cup.
So excited. I've been thinking about it for since we qualified, really. And obviously since the draw, knowing who it'll be. Always a little bit of nerves, but I think that's good to be excited. There's a lot of people that are getting their first World Cup game. A lot of us that are... I don't even know how many I'm on, but it's a lot. But the nerves are still kind of there, and the excitement. There's nothing quite like that, and it only comes every 4 years, so it's a nice little treat every time.
Megan Rapinoe and the defending world champion USA will play their opening Women's World Cup match on July 22nd when they take on World Cup debutante Vietnam in Auckland, New Zealand. In Auckland on Wednesday, USA co-captain Alex Morgan talked about the team's energy level.
I mean, you know, the energy is high. It's there, you know, just like 4 years ago. Obviously, it's just way different personnel, different coach. But I feel like as you land in the host country and you prepare for a World Cup, you got, you know, some nerves and some just anticipation and excitement. I mean, we came out to this field yesterday for the first time, just for a walkthrough, and just we were all singing, dancing, like just talking loud. You could feel the excitement. So I think there's a lot of similarities in that way. But at the same time, when we step on the field, this World Cup, I think it's, you know, facing, or we have 32 teams in the World Cup like never before. So it's just going to be very competitive. It's going to be the most watched World Cup. It's going to be the best one yet.
Morgan adds how she thinks the American women will be supported by the fans down under.
I think that this team, you know, stands for a lot. And so to have the reach that we do is obviously fantastic. And just to know that here today and in our games, we're going to have hopefully a little bit of home crowd feeling. A lot of people cheering for us, against us. I just want loud crowds.
I believe there will be loud crowds in the Western United States later Wednesday night, when semifinal matches are played in the men's CONCACAF Gold Cup football tournament. In San Diego, California, the defending Gold Cup champion U.S. men's national soccer team will host Panama. And near Las Vegas, Nevada, Jamaica will meet Mexico in the other Gold Cup semifinal. Now, the USA-Panama semifinal is also a matchup of the Gold Cup's two leading scorers. Jesus Ferreira has bagged a tournament-leading 6 goals for the USA, while Ismael Diaz has 4 goals for Panama. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta reports the Reggae Boys of Jamaica advanced to the Gold Cup's Final Four with a win over Guatemala.
Amari Bell's 51st-minute goal and the first of his international career helped Jamaica secure a 1-0 win against Guatemala in a match that was played in Cincinnati. The Reggae Boys advanced to the CONCACAF semifinals and will next face powerhouse Mexico on Wednesday in Las Vegas. The match goal scorer expressed his thoughts on his team's performance.
So it was a great pass. He's got the quality to find me, as he did. And yeah, it was just about the composure in the box. And you know, I took the opportunity. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to get to the semi-final. It's something we set out to do. And you know, we've achieved that goal. But you know, we're not going to stop here. We're going to keep going and going and win the tournament.
Jamaican coach Hamir Hallgrimsson also assessed his team's performance.
It means a lot, of course. We are still in it and we want to win it like everybody in our position. So Mexico next, and you saw it was a very intense game. It was a lot of tired legs in the end, but I am really proud of the guys. They gave everything, left everything on the pitch, and now we have to find some energy for the next 2 days. Yeah, with good rest, good sleep, nutrition, and the help from the medical team, so we need to be really smart the next 2 days now. I have to give a lot of credit to the people of Guatemala. It was a fantastic atmosphere today, and a big plus to them to make the atmosphere so great. And then we play Mexico for sure. It's going to be packed with Mexicans. So we are playing away every game, but we are ready for it.
That's Jamaican head coach Hamir Hallgrimsson speaking after his team's victory over Guatemala in the CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. Jamaica, who've twice made the Gold Cup final in 2015 and 2017, will be banking on the services of West Ham United's Mikel Antonio, Everton's Demiray Gray, Fulham's Bobby Reid, and Aston Villa's Leon Bailey in the semi-finals match against Mexico, who also secured a 2-0 win against Costa Rica. Oblin Pineda opened the scoring in the second half from a penalty spot before Eric Sanchez sealed the deal late in regulation to send the AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, into a frenzy. Ismael Diaz's second-half hat-trick helped Panama secure a 4-0 win against Qatar in a match that was played at the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Edgar Herrera was also on target for the Central Americans, who earned their first Gold Cup semi-final since the 2015 edition. The Los Canaleros will be up against the United States national team, which also registered a 3-2 win against Canada, thanks to shortstopper Matt Turner's penalty-saving heroics in a match that was played in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Arsenal goalkeeper shared his thoughts on the match.
We were tested. We were tested. We were up a goal, and immediately we, you know, I think we learned a valuable lesson, and we gave away a penalty, and we stayed resilient. You know, then they get a pretty lucky deflection goal, but we stayed after it. We kept going, we kept moving, and I think we learned a lot about ourselves tonight. We got the goal we needed, and then it was down to us to score the pens and me save one or two, and we got there, and you know, we're just looking forward to the semifinal now. We always believed. I think that was the thing. We knew that if we kept doing our process as well, we were going to, you know, create chances, and we were opportunistic. Yeah, maybe we got a little bit lucky on the goal, but as you've seen, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Canadian coach John Herdman regretted his team's defeat in the hands of the United States.
Congratulations to the U.S. You know, they kept fighting to the end, like the Canadians, and it was a close force metaphor. Oh, God, I'm emotional, to be honest. But, yeah, it was a close fought match, and it's the game we wanted. You know, I think coming into this tournament, you know, the players, the staff, the fans, the, you know, Canada want to play the US more than any team. And it was the type of match, great environment. The fans in Cincinnati were unbelievable for the US. They just stayed with them the whole time. But really proud of my lads. I thought tonight they dug in. They showed quality at times. I think we were able to test our depth as a Canadian squad and show that there's depth for 2026. There are players that with more opportunity like this can push and hopefully take that next step in their football careers.
U.S. interim coach BJ Callahan also discussed his team's performance.
I thought you watched two really good teams just kind of battle it out. The first half was a little bit slow. It got off to an awkward start, and we weren't able to get really any rhythm into the game. The second half, I was really proud of the group. They were able to push and push, and then we had a moment of adversity. But we talk about, you know, learning how to make responses to it. And I was super proud of these guys and how they responded. And the contributions that we got off the bench is again, tremendous.
As for the quick turnaround match coming up against Panama, here's what the 33-year-old had to say about the preparations of his team.
Yeah, I mean, so we've already, on our side, we've already started preparing. We've got a great team, a great staff that'll get these guys recovered. We'll travel well. We'll enjoy tonight, and then we'll get right back to work in the morning.
That's U.S. head coach BJ Callahan after his team secured a penalty shootout win against Canada to qualify for the CONCACAF Gold Cup semifinals. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Tunisian tennis star Ons Jabeur served up a big win on Wednesday at Wimbledon. Jabeur rallied from a first set loss to beat defending champion Elena Rybakina in three sets and advance to the semifinals. It was a rematch of last year's Wimbledon title match. The final score from Wimbledon on Wednesday, 6-7, 6-4, and 6-1. Jabeur will next play 2023 Australian Open champion Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus in one of Thursday's semifinal matches. In the other semifinal, Alina Svitolina of Ukraine will play Marketa Vondrasova of the Czech Republic. But getting back to Ons Jabeur, she's a national hero in Tunisia, and she's now two victories away from becoming the first African woman and the first Arab to lift a Grand Slam singles trophy. More Women's World Cup football news. The Copper Queens of Zambia announced Wednesday the team's starting goalkeeper, Hazel Nali, will not play in the tournament because of serious knee ligament injuries. Writing on Twitter, the Zambian team said, and I quote, "Get well soon, Nali. We are with you." The 25-year-old Hazel Nali is based in Turkey with the club Fatih Vatanspor. Major League Baseball held its 93rd annual All-Star Game Tuesday night in the Northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington. The National League All-Stars pulled out a victory over the American League All-Stars, as we hear now from the AP's Jim Bernard in Seattle.
The National League snapped a 9-game losing streak in the All-Star Game with a 3-2 victory over the American League. Elias Diaz hit a 2-run homer in the top of the 8th inning to give the National League the lead and claim MVP honors.
It feels incredible. When we all got here, we all talked about how we were going to bring home the win. I just didn't realize it was going to be me to bring home the win. But it feels great. It feels awesome to be able to contribute.
That was Diaz through an interpreter. Craig Kimbrell struck out Jose Ramirez with two runners on base in the 9th inning to record the save. Luis Arraez drove in the other National League run. Jim Bernard, Seattle.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Encounter. Turkey drops its opposition to Sweden joining NATO. We examine the outcome of the NATO summit as the alliance expands in the face of implacable Russian aggression. Former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Jim Townsend and Catherine Sendak of the Center for European Policy Analysis discuss the summit takeaways, far-reaching implications of the NATO summit, next, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
As I mentioned earlier, the Voice of America's English to Africa service will celebrate its 60th anniversary on August 4th. I'd like to give Sunny Side of Sports shout-outs to four dearly departed English to Africa colleagues who inspired me over the years, filling me with passion behind the Voice of America microphone. Shout-outs for the gallant Ghanaian, King Richard Coty. Another shout-out for Uncle Ted Roberts, our former Nightline Africa host. The two Rods, Rod Murray and Rod Thomas. Rod Murray was the former host of our Hip Hop Connection show. Rod Thomas accompanied me on my very first trip to Africa in 2001. Rest in peace, Rod Murray, Rod Thomas, Uncle Ted, and King Richard Coty. And that wraps up the July 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.